This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you so much for listening. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, a full-service law firm. Whether you need family law, help with divorce, full-service law firm, you need not ask what type of law Brandon Legal Group specializes in. You simply need to reach out to them when you are in need of legal assistance. If you are in the greater Tampa Bay area, you can simply go to their website, brandonlegalgroup.com, look for the box that says request a free consultation, or you can call for that free consult at 844-4BLG-4ME, 844-4BLG-4ME, brandonlegalgroup.com. Longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including the upcoming Todd Wright Tour XXIX, day before Super Bowl 50, we play our 29th golf tournament. It's the good versus evil format, and Chichi Rodriguez Golf Club in Clearwater is always a terrific host. For golf information, email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. My events are all open to the public. We welcome you to join us at future events. They sell out quickly, all very affordable, all considered a very good value, and I do my best to keep them unique and very well organized. Thank you to Brandon Legal Group for always buying the first foursome in every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament and providing gift baskets and often tournament gifts on an annual basis. Papa John's of Tampa Bay, also huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, as well as my podcast. This is a simple one. Mike Lentz, I hope you and your family are doing well. I know you haven't been feeling well. I communicated with Mike within the last 24 hours, just seeing how he was doing. And he gave me an update and says things are going to be fine. And I look forward to seeing him back at his store on West Waters next week and then have him play in Todd Wright Tour XXIX on February the 6th. So Mike Lentz, this Papa John's of Tampa Bay shout out is specifically to you. You're a terrific guy. You're a wonderful supporter of mine, both professionally in terms of the golf tournaments and the podcasts. You're a lot of fun to play golf with. I know you've really hit it off with my friend Andrew DeWitt from Vinick Sports Group, who's responsible for the What Are the Odds webcast. Just feel better. I want to see you next week in the store so we can start talking about upcoming golf tournaments. And that's all I wanted to say in this Papa John's mention for this particular podcast. Get well, Mike, and your family. Email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Instagram at toddwright2020. Yes, we'll be changing that at some point. Although many people think 2020 has just continued. When I had a meeting with the golf staff at Chichi Rodriguez Golf Club a week ago, they referred to our meeting date as December 44th. It was either December 44th or December 45th because 2020 hasn't ended. Let's hope things are trending in the right direction. They certainly are for four teams in the National Football League, and I want to talk about last weekend's games, look ahead a little bit to Conference Championship Sunday, and also give you a heads up. Did you watch the Thanksgiving game between, what was it, Redskins and Cowboys, I believe, this year? I'm sorry, Washington and Dallas. The traditional late afternoon Thanksgiving Day game hosted by the Dallas Cowboys. I attended that game for 6 years in a row. The 6 years I had season tickets at Texas Stadium, saw various big name acts and Creed, never a Creed fan. Saw Destiny's Child, saw Carrie Underwood. Kane Brown was the feature act this past year for the Cowboys' Thanksgiving Day halftime show. For the first time that I can remember, the show was not a production live on the field in front of the fans who attended that same game. It was pre-taped. It looked more like a music video. It was pre-taped at Jerry World. It used Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. It promoted the Salvation Army. And that's how they did the show. And I turned to some friends that I was with at that time on Thanksgiving Day, and I just said, that's a dry run for the Super Bowl halftime. And it looks like I'm right. Simply because of the continuing nature of the pandemic, which is going to not only limit attendance at Raymond James Stadium, literally walking distance from where I'm doing this podcast at my dining room table in my home. I just drove past there an hour and a half ago. Sure, they're putting up tents, but the tent setup is much smaller, and there will be a reduced capacity at this Super Bowl, just as there has been for playoff games in other cities, and a reduced capacity at the college football playoff national title game, the World Series games that were played at Globe Life Park in, they call the park or field, at the Globe Life sponsored new baseball stadium in Arlington, Texas, not far from Jerry World. So based on the number of people that it normally takes to pull off that big production that is the Super Bowl halftime show, I don't think anyone should be surprised that they can't have those people doing that. Because if you're going to reduce the number of fans at the game, you have to reduce the number of people at the game. It is a reduction across the board at every NFL event this year, whether it's stadium security, staffing, media, stadium workers, everything is lessened. So to allow for the same type of halftime show with the same amount of people, and it's thousands that work very hard on this halftime show, and it's often some of the same people who coordinate it at the top, a couple of those key people who have worked virtually every halftime show since the halftime show became a big deal for the Super Bowl, they're not involved this year. It is a reduced number, and there are no plans to do a show live on the field at halftime of the Super Bowl. What you will see on television will be something else. It will either be pre-recorded using the stadium, similar to what Kane Brown and the NFL and the Salvation Army did for the Thanksgiving Day game hosted by the Cowboys, or it will be live or pre-recorded somewhere else in the Tampa Bay area. It will not be live on the field as you have come to know these Super Bowl halftime shows. Just can't do it because you can't have that many people with access to that site because you've already reduced the number anyway. You can't just bring thousands of people in solely to do a halftime show. It's not worth it. So they're going to do it another way, whether they pre-record using the stadium or they pre-record or go live at some other location and just in the stadium, people will watch it on the video boards. They won't make a big deal out of it on the telecast, but just know it won't be a live on-field halftime spectacular. They can't afford to have that many people with access to that stadium for pandemic reasons. So just be prepared for that. As far as the games over the weekend, let's start with Bucks win over Saints. So now teams that win the first two and face a team a third time at home in the playoffs are 17-8. As I made very clear last week, it isn't difficult to beat the same team three times in one season. The numbers actually say otherwise. But it wouldn't be the reason the Bucks would win, and it wouldn't be the reason the Saints would win. I pointed out that in the Bucks' losses, the Todd Bowles defense has been very easy to pick apart via the air, with opposing passers completing 74% of their passes. I said that needed to change for the Buccaneers to win that game. Todd Bowles did change it. You know, during the Chiefs-Bills game, one of the things that was talked about by Tony Romo on the telecast, and he did it specifically involving Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense. Now, if you remember 2 years ago, the Chiefs didn't make Super Bowl 53 because they couldn't stop the Patriots and Tom Brady. The defensive coordinator was fired, and Steve Spagnuolo was brought in, and it worked. And Romo kept talking about, in the Chiefs game against Cleveland, how the Chiefs would simulate pressure. It's sort of another version of a zone blitz, if you remember what that was. I think Dom Capers was considered one of the leaders of the zone blitz, where just because a guy is either on the defensive line or is playing up on the line of scrimmage, no matter the number he wears, doesn't necessarily mean he's staying there or trying to get at the quarterback. He may be dropping off into a zone where the quarterback would otherwise think, ooh, that's an open area, I'm going to throw it there. And then suddenly someone he thought was going to be involved with contact at the line of scrimmage or coming after him drops into that space. That's what Roma was talking about in terms of what Steve Spagnuolo does and using it against the Cleveland Browns. In a form, Todd Bowles was able to use some of that to bother Drew Brees, who clearly has never been 100% since going out and Taysom Hill took over, and Taysom Hill obviously was unavailable in that game. So Todd Bowles did make an adjustment, utilized a great athlete like Devin White as one example, because getting to Drew Brees was just something that you're not going to do. They didn't sack him. They have a left tackle that's going to the Pro Bowl, left guard that's going to the Pro Bowl. You're not going to get to him. So why waste extra people going after him and instead put them in spaces where Drew Brees didn't expect to see them? Brees had three picks, barely completed 50% of his passes, and the Saints had another player with a key fumble that really turned the game with a couple minutes left in the third quarter, the Cook fumble, and the Bucks got a ton of key points off turnovers and went on to win that game. From the Chiefs' standpoint, in their win against Cleveland, the headline, of course, is they won without Patrick Mahomes. Can they do it again? Well, let's start with just how the Chiefs won that game. You know, in their last nine games, the Chiefs have only covered the number one or two times. And again, in this game, they did not. And I don't know if having Patrick Mahomes would have changed that or not. Cleveland was effectively able to run the ball on the Chiefs. Cleveland was one of the best rushing teams in the NFL, right there with Tennessee, because Tennessee has Derrick Henry, and Minnesota, because Minnesota has Dalvin Cook. And momentum as the game went on, partly due to the Mahomes injury, certainly looked to be on Cleveland's side. The repeating as Super Bowl champions, based on the numbers, doesn't happen very often anymore. The Chiefs are in that position as we await the status of Patrick Mahomes. Most feel he's going to play. I heard one explanation about Mahomes simply saying the fact that he was playing a home game will help this whole process move faster in terms of coming out of the concussion protocol. There are also questions whether he ever even really had a concussion. Is it more of a nerve issue, something else physically? And while they put him in the concussion protocol, perhaps he can move out of it faster if technically he was never concussed. I think Mahomes will play. The Chiefs are already saying the toe isn't the issue. So we'll talk more about the AFC Championship against Buffalo going forward. Impressed by the Buffalo defense holding Baltimore to 3 points. Granted, Justin Tucker missed 2 field goals. It was a very windy night. But they held Buffalo basically to 3 field goal attempts. And other opportunities the Ravens had in the red zone resulted in a record-setting pick six, and then late in the game, a turnover on downs. Just shows you how capable the Bills' defense is and played in that particular game. Also, speaking of Vegas numbers, I find it very interesting. Throughout the year, you could clearly see more quality teams in the AFC. Let's just run them down. Buffalo, Baltimore, Cleveland. Pittsburgh was undefeated for the first 3 months of the season. Tennessee, Indianapolis, and of course the Chiefs. All quality teams. The NFC was not that deep. Bears were a playoff team because we went to 7 playoff teams this year. They weren't really a playoff team. And I'm as stunned as some Bears fans are that the GM and the coach are coming back. I think it's the wrong move, and I think they'll regret it about a month into next season. Seattle wasn't playing like a playoff team the last month plus of the season and lost to their nemesis, the Rams. So I find it interesting that this number that's been out there all year where you could bet the NFC team against the AFC team in the Super Bowl, it was 3, then it was 3.5. Then about a month ago, it got as high as 4.5, favoring the AFC. As we speak at the Westgate Superbook, that number is down to 1.5. The Patrick Mahomes status may have something to do with that. That said, Kansas City is favored, as we speak, by roughly a field goal against the Bills. So I can't simply say that that number has dropped to 1.5 because of the Mahomes factor. I think it is a factor there, but it doesn't seem to be as much of a factor in the line of Kansas City versus Buffalo. Now, if nothing had happened to Mahomes, no toe, no injury in the neck area or head that caused him to leave that game last week, yeah, I believe Kansas City would have been roughly a touchdown favorite against the Bills. They're not, because as of right now, we don't know if Patrick Mahomes is going to play or not. But I do think it's interesting that a month ago, the AFC was favored by 4.5 in the Super Bowl. And as of today, they're favored by 1.5 in the Super Bowl. I believed when that number was 3, 3.5, it was a great play to take it. You're going to get Mahomes and the Chiefs. And I even said, or at worst, you're going to get Josh Allen and a high-scoring Buffalo Bills team. The fact that the number is moving so significantly, and again, I'm acknowledging the Mahomes injury, to me it says the NFC are a very live play to win the Super Bowl. Whether it's Green Bay getting to the game for the first time in 10 years, or Brady and the Bucks getting there, and Brady going for a seventh Super Bowl. Just wanted to share